On the hotline from Washington, D.C., our good friend, Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. How you doing, Senator?
I'm doing great, Michael.
You know, tell me if I was wrong.
Considering what's happening here.
Oh, yeah, I was telling my audience a moment ago. If you're waiting for the government's $845 billion package to help you, it's like waiting for grandma to die and you're going to get something from her will. It's just not going to happen.
Well, it's not going to happen. By the way, we had Obama, President Obama, at our conference, our Republican conference, just a couple of hours ago. And you know, I brought up a few things. For one thing, you know, if you really want to do something with jobs, he only has $30 billion out of $850 billion that would go toward highways and bridges and this type of thing. That's about 3%. And I don't think he was aware of that when I brought it up. But all this other stuff has nothing to do with any kind of a stimulus. If we want to do a stimulus, we know exactly how to do it. We know how your dad did it. We know how John Kennedy did it. And this isn't the way.
Do you think that Nancy Pelosi is using her time in Washington to be a puppeteer, if you will, to Barack Obama, thinking he'll just sign whatever comes across his desk, no matter what it is?
Well, I think she believes that, but let's remember now, both she and Harry Reid have had kind of a falling out because he wasn't kowtowing, I guess, to the level that they anticipated. I think their words were, well, I don't work for him. We're equal branches, and, you know, technically they could be right. That doesn't show just a real close relationship to me.
Now, let's talk about the environment real quick, because that's something you were involved in all of the time. By what Barack Obama, the president, said yesterday, with looking at what we're doing out here in California, which is going to just do nothing but chase more industry out of the state of California, so their budgets will be worse, not better, because of the emissions standards they want to put onto us. If indeed California is allowed to have their emission standards, won't the car companies have to build all cars to the California standard? Other than that, they would have to have two lines of production, one for the rest of the country and one for California?
Well, I think it's worse than that, and I'll tell you why, Michael. The way this thing is structured, there are some 13 states, including California, that would be in a position to set their own standards. So theoretically, it could be 13, it could be 14 different standards. That's what worries the car companies, because they said even if it's only two standards, that will raise the price of each automobile. This is where you and I and our friends are going to have to buy automobiles by $1,000 a vehicle. As if the emissions stop at state lines. Now, I would ask you this question. You have, I'm sure, a lot of friends in the automobile business in California. People are going to go to other states like Nevada and buy their cars there, and they say, no, we're going to figure out some way to license them so that we can be watching all the time. It just is. It's, to me, it's not something that's enforceable, and to me, it's something that violates the very standards that they profess that they're trying to protect by having this these regulations. Barbara Boxer's been trying to get the California waiver now for quite some time, and then finally, she has a president who says, "Oh, that's what you want. That's what you get." But to me, that happened pretty quick, and I don't think they really thought it through. This thing isn't going to work, and certainly it's not going to be. You know, I'd be very concerned about, if I lived in California, about keeping any kind of industry there if they're going to have different emission standards as their competitors across the state line.
Well, I think, you know, like what you say, what I was just saying is right. I think the industries will leave here as they are. The tax base is already basically moved out of this state. That's why they're having the trouble that they're having. People do move to Nevada. They do move to Arizona. They, you know, we've basically outsourced our tax base out of California because of the laws that they have passed here. And this is just one more nail in a coffin in the state of California. Now, let me get to something else. Today, I believe, did you have a meeting with Robert Gates?
Yes, I did. This morning, it was before the Armed Services Committee.
Okay, with this whole thing about Gitmo, now you have the Yemeni spokesman saying, hey, give our people back. We got a plot of ground here. Send them over to us. We'll take care of them, you know, where we live. What did you have to say to Robert Gates?
Well, what I had to say to him was each one of us went through our little interrogation. I told Robert Gates that we, first of all, I told him what I thought of Gitmo, that I was there, right? I was the first member of the United States Senate to go to Gitmo after 9/11. And I, when I was down there, Michael, they were treating these detainees better than they are treating our own troops. So you can talk to any of our troops that were down there at the time, and they'll tell you.
Oh, I have.
These guys came in. They had better health treatment, better food than they've ever had before. They're being treated well. The interrogation process at that time was very effective. I think you know some of them that we got a hold of through that interrogation. Now, I don't know where this idea came from that somehow living conditions in Gitmo are substandard. But I can tell you right now that I'm going to go down there. I'm going to be down there this coming Monday trying to keep that thing open. And I think that we may be successful. Right now, they're down to only 250 people, of which half are the kinds they can't replace anywhere else. Their countries don't want them. They'd kill Michael Reagan in a heartbeat. They are the real brutal ones. And that's a resource that we have used effectively, and I just don't know where it could be replaced. So we're going to I told him that, well, I worded it this way. I said, I know that John McCain and then the Democrats all want to close Gitmo, but they're on this side of the aisle. There are several of us on this committee, Armed Services Committee, who want to keep it open, and I can assure you they're going to be joining me down at Gitmo this coming Monday.
Will you do me a favor? Will you make sure you check in with me next week after you've been to Gitmo?
I can call you from Gitmo.
Yeah, I want to talk to you while you're at Gitmo and really talk to the audience and what have you there. This package, one final question. This package, $845 billion, $1.1 trillion, I think the CBO took a look at it and said this is the cost of it with interest and all those kinds of things. That's coming up tomorrow for a vote, am I right?
I'm not real sure because they don't have it finalized. That's what we found out when I asked some questions about what was in it, and others were asking questions. They say we can make adjustments. So I don't know whether that's going to be tomorrow.
Excuse me, it's Senator. Is this one of those bills again where they're writing in the margins as they're voting?
Do you remember right after the? Well, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't after. During the October 10th vote on the $700 billion bailout. Mm-hmm. I talked to you at that time, and I said, you know, what was going to happen, and that set a record, the largest amount of money in one authorization in the history of America, and to make it worse, it was going to go to an unelected bureaucrat. Now, as you probably noticed, Gettner was confirmed yesterday.
Yes.
So he was in on this whole thing. All during the time, Bear Stearns, he was the one that was behind that one. So all these things that were going on there that were just beyond our conception, it's now going to get worse. Insofar as the bill is concerned, I don't really know. I kind of blame those 75 United States senators who voted for the $700 billion bailout as partially responsible because that changed the thinking of America. This $850 billion now doesn't look nearly as big as it would have looked if we had not taken that step.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
I'm sorry.
One final question, though.
Yeah.
How are you going to vote on Holder?
Oh, I vote against him.
Just checking.
Yeah.
There's a reason you were, in fact, voted the most outstanding conservative U.S. senator. Yeah. And you and I have known each other since you were just a mere congressman from Oklahoma.
Well, no, the same thing with Gettner. I just couldn't believe that so few people voted against him. But I've got it before you let me go here. I want to refresh your memory when you and I talked when Al Gore came to Washington to testify on the hearing on the global warming,
yep.
And they had to cancel it because of the ice storm.
Yep.
That may happen again tomorrow night. The ice storm seemed to follow this guy around. And
there is a God.
Yeah, that's right.
There is a God.
Let's wait and see what happens tomorrow.
Hey, Senator, thank you for stopping by.
You bet. Thank you.
Take care, Senator Jim Inhofe from Washington, D.C. Check it in.